If you like your ladies wild and feisty, you have come to the right place. I'm Jody Ambrose, author of Sex, How to Get More of It, and Intimacy, How to Get More of It, and there's nothing I'd rather do on a Monday night at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern than tune in to the amazing ladies of Cougar Chat Radio. Enjoy the show!
Hey everyone, and welcome to another edition of Cougar Chat. I'm one of your hosts, Jen, and I'm joined by my co-hosts, Nan, Andrea, and Callie. Thank you for joining us. Tonight we have Barbara McQueen joining us. Going by the nickname Barbie, she was born and raised on a dairy farm in Oregon and currently lives in Idaho. She started modeling at 18 years of age and graced the cover of dozens of periodicals and ads in the 70s. Steve McQueen saw her picture and just had to meet her. A mere several months later, they were married, and they stayed together until he died. She wrote a book about their lives called The Last Mile, and it's currently available as The Last Mile Revisited. She redid it. So, guys, how is everybody? How was your weekend?
Awesome.
Hey, good. Mine was great.
Very good. Very good. Any plans? Anybody have any big dates or any big plans?
I spent the afternoon at a polo match.
Oh, dear.
Watching everybody drink wine and eating. It was fun in the mountains.
Why didn't you partake in
like
wine
fun.
And food?
I don't like wine. I did partake of the food.
I'll never get that. Your husband has a wine cellar the size of my house.
I know. It tastes gross to me. Mm. It burns my throat all the way down. It's really a problem.
Kind of weird. So I'm excited about our guest.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
But Jen, I want to hear about your birthday weekend.
Oh, that's right.
Well, I'm still getting over this horrendous sinus stuff. I don't know if it's allergies. I think it's more than allergies. I've been coughing for 4 weeks nonstop. I've got 3 prescriptions. My sinuses are completely stripped. So I was a little better, but I had 2 parties to go to. I got another tattoo, so I've finally got at least a partial sleeve. I got to start working on the upper part. No, Nan, I'll never run out of space.
You're going to be that woman, all we're going to see is your eyeballs.
You're funny. No. That's what my daughter said. She's like, you're going to get the top part done, then you're going to go over to your chest, and you're going to go down your boobs. I'm like, no, that won't be me.
Do you think it's addicting, or do you just...
It is addictive. What, Andrea?
Heard that.
I was going to say, when you are through with the tattoos, I totally foresee you getting into the funky piercings.
No. Mm-mm. And if by funky piercing do you mean in funky places, no. Big no.
My son tried to get one of those, what are those things, the gauges. So he pestered me to death, and finally I told him, fine, you can get the smallest gauge possible. So we got his ear pierced, and we waited 2 weeks. He goes, okay, I'm ready for my gauge. And tiny, tiny, tiny little gauge. We couldn't get that sucker in. He started screaming. I said, and I was kind of mean. I'm like, you said you wanted it here. Just hold still. And I was like pulling on his earlobe, trying to cram it through. It looks small, but wait till you try and stick it through that tiny little hole in your ear.
Right, right.
It was awesome. He's like, never mind.
Oh, good.
I'm like, come on, let's get it in.
Well, I mean, he's young, and I mean, he still has, you know, his whole job opportunity open, and you start messing with the face and anything but ears.
Well, they said the smallest gauges close up. It's those ones where they get really super big that you actually have to get your earlobe sewn back up.
Okay.
Because I'm like, I am not hiring somebody. I don't care if it's to wash my friggin' toilet. If they could, like, friggin' suck on their earlobe, there's something wrong. Like, that's just not right. Unless you
can throw a baseball through your earlobe. It's probably not cool. Job potential.
What gauge are you? I'm a baseball.
Well, that's an awesome movie. What's your number? Have you seen that movie?
No.
I don't know if you've seen that one.
With the guy, Chris, what's his name? He was Captain America. Did I just say America? Captain America.
I know.
America.
Where they talk about how many sex partners they've had, right? What's your number?
Exactly.
Yes.
pretty funny.
Oh, I was still back stuck on Captain America, and I'm like, I didn't think Captain America talked about any of that.
There's some potential for Chris. Captain America does Detroit. I don't know. I think we'd all own a copy of that.
with his super shield.
Yes. Yes. If that's what you want to call it.
It could be Trojan across the top.
So I had a funny encounter this weekend. I'll carry on this story until our guest calls in, and then I'll cut it short. But went to a party, and a couple people at the party had heard of the show, Cougar Chat Show, because it actually made front page news this past week because of another internet radio show. Thank you to my friend, the reporter. And so he got inundated with calls and, you know, how do I find Cougar Chat? So thank you to the 10 other people who are now listening because of this story. But somebody...
Hi!
Hi, hey! We love all of you. Somebody came up to me and is clearly drunk and slurring his words and, oh, Cougar Chat, that must be about fucking. I'm like, oh. Yes, it kind of is. But, you know, we're very serious about what we do. But, yeah, you know, we have a lot of fun. And the whole time I'm holding a glass of wine trying to maintain my composure, this guy's, like, spittling in my face because he's you. But anyway, yes. Our caller is here. Hang on, let me get Barbara on the line.
Hey.
Barbara?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi. Thanks for calling in. How are you?
I'm very well. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you so much for taking time out to join us.
Well, this is fun. This will be great.
Good.
You
good.
Sound like a bunch of bad girls.
Only sometimes.
Oh, okay.
Just Jen
only
and
sometimes is not an option.
Well, tell us, you know, we did your intro, how you guys met. Apparently Steve just saw your picture and he just had to meet you. So take us away.
I love that.
So interested, yeah.
That's awesome.
Well, I was a model in New York, and I've always had a place out here in Idaho because I like Idaho, and I, you know, put all my money into that little house in Idaho, and I got a call from my agent in Los Angeles, and she said, come to L.A. Steve McQueen wants to meet you for a part in a movie. And I said, Nina, I don't act. You know, that's goofy. She says, well, just come out anyway. It'll be fun. You'll get to meet this Steve McQueen. I said, who is he? She said, who have you ever seen Tower and Inferno? And I said, yeah. And that's, I've only seen like two of Steve's movies. And I said, yeah, I have. And I go, which one is he? And she goes, oh, it's the one with the beautiful blue eyes. And I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to go meet Paul Newman. This is cool. Because I'm not a big movie buff. And I got out there. I mean, I'm really condensing the story. And Nina went with me to make sure I wouldn't get eaten alive. And we went in there, and we waited and waited and waited. It was the El Padrino room in the old Wilshire Hotel. And finally, this gruffy, scruffy guy in a plaid shirt comes in, plops down next to me, orders two beers, and I kind of look at him like, oh, God, who is this? I guess that was Steve McQueen. But we sat for about an hour and, you know, had our beers, and he and Nina talked for, God, a good hour, and I said maybe three words, and when we left, he went one way and we went the other way. And I looked at Nina and I said, oh, my God, I love that man. I adore that man. She goes, God, Barbara, you didn't even say a word to him. And I said, I know, but there's just something there. So I didn't know that I was staying at the hotel, and I didn't realize that he'd kept an apartment at the hotel.
Oh.
So the next day he spotted me at the swimming pool, and I must say at that age I looked pretty damn good in a bikini. And he walked over and he started talking to me, and then he just left mid-sentence, and I thought he was one of those creepy Hollywood guys. Then he came back and dragged me into the sauna, asked me 20 questions or something, very important, very serious, soulful questions, you know, like your, I don't know, very important questions. And then he let me out, and he says, you want to go have dinner tonight? I said, okay, why not? So we went and had a beer, and then he says, come to the room at 7. And I thought, okay, so... I was 7, I didn't go. 7:15, I didn't go. 7:30, he called me. I said, okay, I'm on my way. 7:45, he called. He says, are you really coming? And I said, well, okay, I'll come. I got up to his room. I knocked on the door, and he opens these doors. Now, this is the only time I knew, like, a movie star, Steve McQueen. And these two blonde women turned around and looked at me. I mean, they had, you know, the fake tatas and the shirts open down to their belly buttons and the gold jewelry and the tight jeans. I turned around and I said, well, I'll see you another time. And he kicked them out and pulled me in, and we had dinner and went for a drive on the coast, and that's the end of the story, at least on that you get to hear in public.
We can imagine the rest.
How did you deal with women like that? Because I know being, you know, in his position, he dealt with that a lot. How did you deal with that?
With what?
The women. The women always wanting his attention.
He knew I'd turn and walk because, you know, at the time I was on the cover of all the magazines. I had all the boys chasing me. I had a boyfriend back in New York. Had one in Idaho. You know, it was not a big deal. So, you know, he had to work a little bit.
Good for
you.
Trying,
you know, I was raised on a dairy farm. My father didn't raise any, you know, easy girls. So, anyway, he had his hands full, too. But you know what? He was really good. I didn't know if he did. Don't tell me anybody. But, you know, I'd never seen him, you know, behave like that afterwards. After we really started, you know, hanging, and we started hanging instantly, he, that person was gone. That the movie star guy.
Oh, that's
then he
nice.
Turned
and that
into
77?
Yeah, that was actually the 4th of July, 1977.
Okay.
So, God, that's years ago.
And it's an interesting story about how you started modeling, too. You were, you went with a coworker to a club, if I'm not mistaken, right?
No, actually, I was going to high school, and I was always a skier. You know, that's why I live in the mountains. And they wanted me, and right after when I graduated high school, they said, well, come maybe I was still in high school on vacation. I can't remember. Anyway, they said, we're going to do some cities. It was Dimitri ski sweaters and ski wear. And they were going to go to, like, San Francisco, Los Angeles, Seattle. And their last stop was New York, and I was, like, their house model. And I was having a blast because I'd never really, you know, been on my own and done anything by myself with grown-ups before. So, you know, that was way cool. And when it was time to go to New York, they wouldn't take me because I was too young. So I just bought a ticket and went to New York. Why my parents let me do that? They must have been insane. But you know, that was then. This is now. And
I
stayed with some people. No, no. But you know what? I stayed with some wonderful, wonderful people. And then in Queens, unfortunately, in Lafrac City. And then, you know, about a month later, I'd gotten an apartment in Manhattan and. Eileen Ford, took me on, so that was just kind of the way that went. I've been very lucky. I've been very, very lucky, so, you know, it all worked out well. But that's
See,
how I got
you,
into the modeling.
Did you do advertisements? You did advertisements as well.
Yeah, I did a lot of magazines and ads, and I don't know, I mean, I was like, I did tons of Glamour, I did Cola California's, Harper's Bazaar, like the editorials, you don't make that much money. You make your money in the advertisement parts. But everything, I mean, I wasn't in it I never could get into Studio 54. I was such a hick and such a dork. I never could get into any of the fun places, and I couldn't stay up late. So, you know, I just worked really, really hard, saved my money, and bought my little place up in the mountains. So that's what I wanted. And now
so
I still can't get into those fun places.
Oh, you could. So tell me about Steve's movies, and did you go along with him to film? And
I've only seen The Blob and The Towering Inferno, and I went with him on two movies. He made Tom Horn, and he made The Hunter, and I went along with him on those movies, and that was really, really fun.
Okay.
But, you know, I never see him. It was a job, you know. It wasn't his. I didn't see the movie star person that often, but you know, he had a job and he did his job well, and he played really well, and we had a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'd have seen The Towering Inferno. That's I am not a fan of heights, so let me tell you, that movie really bothered me.
Oh, when I talked to you the other day, I was riding a chairlift to the top of the mountain. I thought I was going to faint. Oh my God!
Yes,
I had to look at my feet all the way down.
Her friend, tell him what your friend was doing.
Paragliding. You jump off the top of the hill, off the top of the mountain. The top of the mountain's like about 9,200 feet. And I was supposed to go, but my the co-author, who I'm going to Germany with next week, said absolutely do not do it. If you hurt yourself, you've messed up the whole trip. So once I got up there, I was very glad he said that. But we won't tell him. I looked down and went, uh-uh. Homie ain't doing that.
I mean, basically, paragliding is tying a kite to yourself and jumping
off. Well, it's like a parachute.
Oh, it's not
that
bad.
Yeah, it's like a parachute. You just run off the side of the mountain, the parachute blows up or it fills up, and you twirl around in the thermals.
Yeah, and you guide it with your arms and stuff, and it kind of just floats with the wind.
Callie would do it. She's been jumping twice.
I would totally do it.
My friend has a place to do it.
She'd want to do it. My friend in Virginia has a school that teaches people how to do it, too.
Really?
Really popular over in Europe. Like, super popular.
It looked interesting. Yeah, I think I'm going to pass. The brave part of me kind of turned cowardly on the way up the chairlift.
Did you hear about the lady who, it was in the Caribbean, and her and her husband, she was doing the parasailing thing, and the harness broke, and she fell however far to her death. She hit the water so hard
horrible.
She died. Yeah, no.
Well,
now
I
have to do it. Thanks, Jen.
You're welcome.
Well, I've already done that. I don't have to do that one anymore. So, been there, done
been
that.
There.
So, Barbara, tell everybody where you're going.
I'm going to do a book tour because I did the book, The Last Mile, revisited. It's the revised one. Mm-hmm. So Wednesday I'm going to go to Seattle and play for a couple days, and then I'm meeting my co-author and his wife. We're going to Reykjavik, Iceland for 2 days, and then we're going to Amsterdam for 2 days, and then we're taking a train to Germany, so we have to, it's like 8 days of work in Germany.
Now you're speaking in Germany. Where are you speaking in Germany?
Well, the main parts I know are Hamburg, and we're going to do the Hamburg Film Festival, and then there's I'm not real good at this. The biography days in Norwald and Munster. I think those are the name of the towns. Even the Germans I know have never heard of those towns, so hopefully they're not going to take us over there and put us to work or something. I don't know. But, you know, it's going to be fun. It's an adventure. I love adventures, and it's going to be exciting. And then we get 2 days off, and we're going to go down to Berlin.
Oh, good. Okay.
Well, give us a quick synopsis of your book. I know it's the life that you shared with Steve towards the end.
Well, it's when I met Steve, you know, I was a model, and almost every model always carries a camera because you're always around photographers, so you learn how to take pictures if you're interested. I was very interested. I liked it. And I was always taking pictures all the time. And when I met Steve, I told him, I said, you know, I have a camera and it goes with me everywhere. So if you're cool with that, that's, there'll be a lot of pictures of you. And he thought about it and he said, okay. You know, I said, I'm not selling them to anybody or doing anything with them. They're just, you know, us and our travels. And nobody really took pictures of Steve from the time that I was with him till he passed away. And I have all those pictures. So I basically have the stash of pictures. So finally, after about 25 years, I found somebody, or they found me, and we made a book. And with just some really nice, it's a photographic book, and it's got stories. But it's very kind and sweet, and, you know, you could read it to your grandchildren, your grandmother, whatever. It's not the naughty tell-all type of book.
Sorry, Nan.
What are you guys doing?
I like both.
Nan likes the naughty books, but she likes the naughty picture books. Yeah.
Well, when we get
Barbara
together for a glass of wine, I'll tell you all the naughty stories.
There you go. Hey, my husband's going to be in Seattle on Wednesday, but he's got to work. So, I have a question. Who is Harvey Mushman?
Yes. That was a name that he used when he raced. So I guess nobody knew it was Steve McQueen. So I've been told, and I've seen him use it before, and I thought, what? Like, we went to an air show once, and he used my father's name to register his airplane.
Okay.
So, I mean, he used all kinds of different names not to be recognized or bothered, but if it went too long of a period with nobody bothering him or recognizing him, he'd say, well, I'm Steve McQueen. And they're like, yeah, right. Then finally they'd go, okay, I guess you are.
So he rode dirt bikes.
Yes, he was. You know what? He was really. That's what he really. He was true to his bikes and his cars and his airplanes. In the end, I mean, he would get down and get dirty, and he knew what he was talking about, and he knew what he was doing there. That was his first love, I think. I don't even think I know.
I know that I read that he blamed a lot of the equipment and stuff for his death and the asbestos exposure. That must have been really hard for him since it was a hobby he loved so much.
Well, at the time he didn't know about the asbestos exposure he got it from his race outfits, what do you call them, racing suits, and it's caused by asbestos, which is still legal in this country. We still import it. And when he was a youngster in the, Marines, he went AWOL chasing some lady across the country, and when he got back, they threw him in the brink, and they made him go downstairs in a boat and take all the asbestos off the hull, and that's where we think he probably got it, because that's just heavy, heavy, heavy. And a lot of people that work in boats and shipyards get the asbestos poisoning, or asbestos. It's called mesothelioma.
Right, right.
And there's basically no cure for it.
Did he do a lot of his own stunts for the movies?
He did all of his. I think he did most of his stunts. I mean, I know that he didn't in the movie do the jump in The Great Escape because Bud Eakins did that. But as soon as they took the insurance off of him, apparently he got on the bike to prove that he could do it. And
broke his leg.
I don't think so. I don't know. Did he?
I have a question from the chat room asking if he broke his leg performing a stunt in The Great Escape.
I don't think so. I know he broke his foot in a race.
Okay.
I think that's the one they said the insurance wouldn't let him do it.
Hmm.
You know, because they have
something
to insure
in
the actors.
Makes it sound. You know, I know nothing about the movies. I'm really terrible. It's like, you know, if he was a plumber, I probably would have paid more attention, but. You know, the movies didn't really, you know, there wasn't a lot to it. I don't know, being a model, you know, it's the same kind of thing, sort of. I don't know, it's just, you know, you go in your blue jeans and you look like you just got out of bed, which you did. You 5 minutes, 10, 20 minutes later, you look beautiful, and then you go home and wash your face, and you look like you did when you got there in the morning. So it was kind of like, you know, he was Steve, and then he'd get on set, and he was Steve McQueen, and then he'd come home, and he was Steve. So
right. Well, if anyone listening wants to call in, again, we're talking to Barbara McQueen, widow of Steve McQueen. The number is 661-244-9818.
Are you guys?
Oh, we're all over. I'm in North Carolina. Nan is in Virginia. We have a Canadian, Andrea, and we have someone from Colorado, Callie.
Oh, my gosh.
We're all over the place.
You girls have way too much fun.
We do have a lot of fun. We do.
You know, speaking of having a lot of fun, I do have a question for you. I was reading an article that was written about you guys back in the 70s from Women's Own. And it was talking about the drastic change that you made in Steve's life. When you first met him, he was struggling quite a bit. And I just wonder what it was like for you to kind of take a bad boy and sort of make such a big difference in his life.
You know what? I don't think I made that big of a difference. I mean, he's a bad boy, and I love bad boys. But, you know, I think he just saw a different, you know, he was kind of happy. He kind of came down a little bit, you know, and he kind of calmed down a little bit, is I guess what I should say. I mean, he was never easy, but... yeah, he was a pain in the ass, but he was, you know, a good man. But
well, you know what?
He just settled.
Yeah. Go ahead.
What do they say?
Well, if you ignore a man, then they bug the hell out of you. So it sounds like you had that right on. you acted like you didn't care. I mean, but you did, obviously. But
oh no, I cared a lot. But you know, I just wasn't going to take any, you know, what off of him. And it's
exactly,
you know, I didn't have to. And it just, you know, I don't know, I'm stubborn. I'm ornery and stubborn, so it
good.
Was a good match.
We have to be. We don't get run over that way.
No. But we had some great, great times and just, I mean, funny, insane good times.
Tell us some things that we wouldn't know about him otherwise.
He can't dance. He listens to horrible music. He got his hair permed once, and I just about died.
Do you have a picture?
It's in the book. There's one picture in the book, and he came home, and I went, oh, no, God, what did he do? It's horrible. He had like a little mini white boy afro. It was just terrible.
That's awful.
I know when I was reading research about Steve, I noticed that he was kind of on the edges of that whole Sharon Tate murder and the Charles Manson thing. How did that affect him? Did he ever talk about it?
No.
It was such a horrible...
For five minutes, and he said, never talk to me about it again. So I don't talk about it. He's still, I mean, he was freaked out till the day he died. I mean, bad, 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 bad. And you know what? He scared me so badly, I didn't ask any questions. I didn't want to know anything about anything because it just freaked me out. Yes, he was supposed to be there. And something at the last minute changed his mind. So that's just about all I know. And that's about all I care to know because it freaked me out totally.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Plus, he lost his friends there, too. I know that had to be, you know, almost impossible to deal with.
Yeah, that's got to be scary.
Friends?
Well, I know.
Sharon Tate and Jay Delano?
Sebring,
was it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I know he packs heat. He packed heat. And he made, when I met him, and as soon as we were, like, definitely together, I got my concealed weapons permit, which I still have one today, and... You know, we all carried a gun, a handgun. So, I mean, he was totally freaked out.
Did he have to deal with any other stalkers besides that incident, or was that all from this incident?
There was only one guy that I ever knew that in our time. He came, we were living in Santa Paula, we were living in the sticks, you know, and you'd have to look for us pretty hard because it was just a funky little house, and he had to come through one little funky gate. He had to come through another little gate, and then he had to come through the dogs. And he came through the back door of the house, which nobody, you know, that's where the friends come in, you know, through the laundry room, whatever, and then knocked on the kitchen door. And I opened the kitchen door, and we always kept a little revolver next to the kitchen. And this time Steve was sick. And the guy just started walking right into the house, yapping at me. He had the script that Steve had to do. It was his comeback script, and I'm, like, trying to get him out of there, and I've never done anything like this, but I put the gun right to his head and walked him straight out the door and called the cops. They came and got him, and they put him back in the crazy house. He was nuts. So that's the only one I'd ever been exposed to with him, but it was weird. But usually people were so nice and kind.
I guess, I mean, if you're going to have bad people after you, two times isn't that bad, but I mean, you had, that's one hell of a scary time for you personally, and I mean, that's like the baddest of the bad for the poor guy before you. I mean, wow. On the other hand, are there any uplifting parties, or like, what would you guys had to have gone to parties just about every single weekend talking about good people?
We were so boring. That's probably why he liked me, is because I was just happy to stay home and, you know, hang out, and we'd get in the old pickup trucks and drive around and go eat really bad food, and, you know, he'd look at me some days and go, Barbie, go get a six-pack of Old Milwaukee. We're going somewhere. And I said, where are we going? He says, I don't know. We're just going. And we would. We'd just sit in the old pickup truck and start driving. And, I mean, it was great adventure. Great adventure. And so that was fun. That was, you know, that was our thrills. We didn't really go to any parties that I can even remember. In fact, I can't remember one party we went to.
That was what I was going to ask. I was going to ask what it was like going out together, you know, with the paparazzi and so forth. I mean, I know they aren't as intense as they are now, but you had to get recognized.
You know what? He always had the scruffy beard, and nobody really recognized him that much, and he loved that to a certain extent. I mean, really to a good certain extent, because he really liked to be private. And, you know, but we didn't hit all the wild spots and the hot spots, and the places that we went are places that nobody would really know who he was. And he really enjoyed that. I think he had so much of his life where he was always recognized and always on and always, you know, Steve McQueen, the movie star. Now he was just Steve, the guy. And we'd spend tons of time up in Montana. And we went to Montana once. We got stuck and we couldn't find a room, and we went up this canyon where it said hot springs, knocked on the door, and we said, we know you're closed, but we don't know where we are and we're lost. Can we have a cabin for a night? And the guy said, we're closed, but it's late. You can have one of the cabins. Steve's looking over the guy's shoulder smelling, because he always likes snooping in people's houses, because I don't think he ever had a real family. And the guy looked at him and says, okay, you want to come in for spaghetti? My wife's cooking. He goes, yeah. So we went and put our stuff down, came in, got spaghetti dinner with those guys. The two guys sat up for at least 2-3 hours drinking beer, talking and, you know, swapping stories, swapping lies. And then they were going to go fishing in the morning. Well, I've never seen Steve fish in his life. So they went fishing. And I just hung around, you know, walked around, and that we went over to their house again the next night, and they went and did something the next day, and then we went over to their house the next night, and he says, you want to go have coffee with me in the morning? And he goes, yeah. So Steve was hanging with this guy and his wife, and we were having fun with them. And we went to coffee the next morning in this little town, and we walked in, and the restaurant went silent. And I went, shit, they know him. And we all sat down, and you know, he's a smart man. He caught on right away, and he gave me the look, and I'm like, sorry, dude, you're busted. And we sat down, and the guys, you know, it was like the old guys sitting around the table drinking coffee, flipping quarters to see who's paying. And one of the guys looked at him, at the friend, and said, you know, that's Steve McQueen. He said, that's not Steve McQueen. He and his girlfriend have been at our place for like 3 days now. He says, that's Steve McQueen. And the guy looks at him and he says, are you Steve McQueen? And Steve goes, yeah. And he goes, oh, well, hi. You know, I mean, he was dumbfounded. But we spent one more night, and away we went. And I mean, they were just like, they just were so shocked that he was just a regular old guy hanging out and going fishing. You know?
Oh, I love that. That's like the best story ever.
Well, that's kind of like what he liked.
That story to everybody.
Here we are envisioning, you know, visions of grandeur, parties every night.
Montana. Yeah, it was just, and it was, we had a crappy little house and all this, you know, this little cabin and stuff, because nobody was there. It's almost wintertime, and, you know, it was funny. But, you know, that was the kind of stuff that he really enjoyed.
Right.
Now, if he enjoyed it 20 years earlier, I don't know, but that's what we did. We didn't do any of the movie star stuff.
Well, that's a nice different twist. I wasn't expecting that. That's awesome. Well, what about the movie star stuff like the Grammys? I'm sure you went to some award shows, and how did that go?
I'm a hick. No, never have been. Never been.
Okay.
Haven't been to the Oscars, Grammys, none of that stuff. I don't think... We went to the Tom Horn premiere, but, you know, he came in after it started, and we left before it ended, so that wasn't much of anything.
So no red carpet stuff. Okay.
No red carpet stuff.
Well,
he
we are
dress
on
to
with...
save his life, and I couldn't either, so we were a good pair.
We are on with Barbara McQueen. If you'd like to call in with a question, it's 661-244-9818. We are actually going to break for a short commercial, and we will be right back with Barbara. Hang on.
Ghostly voices or whispers, phantom footsteps, strange specters of light, moving shadows. Prepare to take a ride on the darkest side of the night with Prism Paranormal Research. Visit us at www.prismparanormal.net.
Hi, I'm Ryan Seacrest for RAD. Over 300 people in this country are killed every week by a drunk driver. That's the equivalent of 2 747 plane crashes every single week. And the problem isn't going away unless we all do our part to stop it. So if you see someone who's about to drive after drinking, get the keys. Don't leave it up to anyone else. Friends don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
She's in her sister's friend, and she didn't know yet. Well, now you know it's her.
right. Well, we're back with Barbara McQueen. Thank you. If you're a guest and you're listening, it's 661-244-9818 if you have a question. Well, that audio wasn't ideal. That didn't sound very good.
What was that?
That was our theme song, Cougar Thriller. But it's a bad copy, apparently. So I'll have to work on that.
Doesn't it sound differently when we replay it?
Oh, we hope so.
I hope so. That's a good song. I like that song.
Have to clean that up a little bit. So, well, we're back. And where were we? Oh, I had someone ask a question in the chat room again about on any Sunday. What was on any Sunday?
Okay. Like I said, I haven't seen any of these movies, but I'm learning really quickly. It was a Bruce Brown. It's a motorcycle desert bike race movie type thing.
Okay.
You can tell I have not seen it. But it's supposed to be very, very good. The two that I'm supposed to see that won't hurt my – because it hurts my – I can't watch Steve now because it freaks me out to see him in movies because it just weirds me out too much. But I think I can see On Any Sunday, and I think I might be able to see Le Mans. So, but I haven't seen them yet.
Well, he said it has a cultish following among motorcycle riders.
Very cultish, very, very much. It's kind of like Bullet where everybody has to have a Mustang.
Gotcha.
So – good, apparently a very, very good movie.
Well, I need to look that up. And apparently he got the Marines to open up Camp Pendleton for shooting some scenes?
I don't know. You know what? My co-author, Marshall Terrell, who's written a lot of books on Steve and other books too, he is like he can tell you anything about Steve and his movies, anything. I mean, he's like, I have to call him sometimes to ask questions about me that I've forgotten. It's like, okay, Marshall, do you remember anything we did? You know? It's pretty bad, but he's the guy that knows. I mean, you should have him on sometime to ask about Steve questions, movie questions, because he's
Marshall. Brilliant
that way. Yeah.
So is Marshall, he's traveling with you.
He and his wife Zoe are traveling with me, yeah, so we're getting excited.
Well, I was just, you know, Stage 32, if you guys aren't familiar with Stage32.com, it is similar to Facebook in that it is simply entertainers, directors, anything about the entertainment business. And so I thought, hey, well, I have a radio show. So I went and I set up a profile, and I started getting requests, and because you have to friend each other. And I got a request from Marshall, and he saw a few of my posts about the show, and then he just private messaged me and said, hey, I know some people that might enjoy coming on, and here we are. So I really appreciate
I didn't know
his,
that.
Yeah, I really appreciate his reaching out to me. So please thank him.
I will do that. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
And the guy who co-wrote the book with you, what was his name? Marshall?
Marshall Terrell. Yeah, that's Marshall.
Marshall. Did he ever have a chance to meet Steve, or is it just for you that he's getting the information?
Everything he's done, he's a journalist to begin with. So, I mean, everything he does, he checks his facts, and everything I've ever known is to be true. So... because sometimes I read these books that people write about Steve, and I only read the part where it starts with me, because that's the only part that I really know, and like 99% of them are hilarious to me, because I didn't know I did those things, and I didn't think I did those things, and then I know I didn't do those things. And I know Steve didn't do those things, so, you know, that's funny.
Do you find it odd to read about your husband and his life before you?
Well, you
it
know what?
Like
I figured
really
that's exactly
different.
What it is his life before me. I just got back from Pebble Beach at that Concours d'Elegance in Pebble, and the one tent, I didn't realize Steve was such a big deal. I mean, I walked in, and here's all these, and I was working with the motorcycle people, and, of course, on each side of me were a couple of Steve's bikes, one of his trucks, something I'd sold the year before was for sale again for, like, 8,000 times more money, and that freaked me out. And then walking through the tents, I mean, all I see are these big rugs of Steve's head, posters of Steve, things of Steve's, everything Steve's, and his cars that we used to have. Some of them were selling for, you know, millions of dollars, and it just
wow.
Wigs me out. You know, when I get home, I have to de-Steve because it's just too much.
That's funny.
Because I don't know that gentleman.
Yeah. Near the end of Steve's life, he underwent some very, what were deemed at the time, and I mean, from what you know, media says about them are still somewhat non-conventional medicine treatments down in Mexico.
It was all completely stupid. But, you know, you don't tell Steve McQueen what to do. He's going to do what he wants to do.
Right.
And, you know, if somebody told you you were dying, you'd probably go all the last-ditch effort. But
sure.
The Mexican, I'm sure there's better. There's still good. There is no cure for mesothelioma. But, I mean, I'm sure there are better ways. Now you're going to get me kicked off the air. But I think there's better ways to do things in this world than what we do here.
Sure.
But,
right.
You know, what he did when I look back on it was ridiculous. He shouldn't have had to do that.
Yeah, I was going to ask if you had any bearing on the treatments that he decided upon, but like you just said, it was all Steve. Steve wants to do it,
yeah.
Steve's doing it.
He wanted to do it, and you know, his family tried to talk him out of it, but you know, he was determined. And
were you down
in
Mexico with him?
Yeah, I was a young bride, so I was there. I don't think I slept for 6 months, and I weighed 117 pounds when I got back from Mexico. And slept for probably a week, but it was rough.
Well, you said something about there's got to be better ways to do things, you know. And don't get the conspiracy theorist in me started, because I still to this day think there's a cure for cancer and the government is suppressing it. That's just my opinion.
Well, yep, my opinion too.
It's the
pharmaceutical companies make so much money. There's no incentive for it.
Cancer centers everywhere.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they make money off everything. And then the lawyers make the money. You know, they don't care about the – well, I'm not going to get started because I get picked.
We could have a whole show of conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
Well, I told you about the gentleman I met who was asked to join the CIA, and he said, no, thank you. I'd like to sleep at night. I could bring him on.
With one eye open, I believe it.
So.
Yeah, that's spooky.
Yeah. No, we are not regulated by any. We don't have any restrictions on internet radio, so feel free.
Yeah. Well,
so
you probably know my feelings exactly.
What was it like for you? You were such a new bride when all of this happened, and then Steve deteriorated. What was it like afterwards? How did you deal with him? You know, because I'm sure it was just so much going on when you're back and forth to Mexico and, you know, trying to get these procedures, and then all of a sudden it's just over for you. It must have been
very odd.
Well,
you know what? I'll tell you what to eat. And I've always been hardcore. You know, I don't know if it's the way I was raised or it's just my being. It hurts. Yeah, it hurts. But, you know, if he'd have died in a car accident and he was with me 2 days before, I would have freaked. I would have just died. I mean, I don't know how I could have handled that. But when you're watching somebody go from a strong person to nothingness, and it's been months and months and months,
right?
I find it easier to deal. I mean, yeah, it was a shock when it finally happened, but it was a relief just because he felt better. You know, he was
right.
Not hurting anymore. But, I saw ghosts and spirits, and he was with me for a while, so I know everything's okay. And
that's awesome. Oh, now you've got it.
Oh, no.
We are all ghost hunters. Start talking.
Now we can go there.
Barbara, we all met. We're all in the paranormal community. That's how we all met. We are no strangers to that kind of thing.
And we love stories like that.
That got me through. You know, that got me through. And I completely 100% believe in it. And, you know, he wouldn't have wanted, and he wouldn't have wanted me to be that way. He wouldn't wanted me to be, you know, well, sad, yeah, but, you know, you have to go on. I mean, shoot.
Right.
I know people that have lost people, and they die because they just can't stand it. You can't do that to yourself. Your mate wouldn't want you to, as far as I'm concerned.
It's true.
I mean,
and
I didn't run off and marry some guy, but.
Yeah. No, Did he come to you in dreams, or was he, like, hanging out at the house?
Oh, he's just hanging out with me. The first night he came to me, and now this is funny, because when we got home, we flew back from Juarez. We had to cross the border from El Paso. We flew back to Ventura, California, with Steve's body, and then it was me, the two kids, and we had the doctor and two of Steve's nurses. They're both health. They're not medical doctors, but, you know, they're the health kind. What do you call that? What's the word I'm looking for? Well, yeah, they're doctors, but not the kind, not the real doctors. They're the kinds of, that believe in holistic medicine and things like that.
Homeopathic.
Yeah. Okay. So we all the doctor, the two nurses, and I, and all of us were under 30. The doctor might have just been 30, and so we got back to our little house, and we just we were all just a mess, and we all got drunk and got in the hot tub and cried our eyes out, and then we all went to bed. And I was sleeping in our bed, and in the middle of the night, I got hot, and it wasn't hot in that house because it was November, and I started pushing the covers off me because I was dying, and pretty soon somebody put their arms around me and hugged me and said, "Oh, honey, don't worry, everything's fine, I'm healthy, I'm happy, it's good, everything's just great, don't worry, you be happy."
Wow.
And then all of a sudden I got cold,
awesome.
And I mean, there's a little more to it, but I'm not going to, it's my story, you know, to keep to myself.
Yeah, I know.
But
thank you for sharing that.
And then I fell asleep and pulled the covers up because I was freezing to death. And the next morning I got up and I was kind of singing to go out to get coffee. And one of the little nurses, Annie, walked through the house and she looked at me and she grinned. She goes, "Aha." I said, "What?" She goes, "He went and said hi to you last night, too."
Wow.
And I went, "Oh, my God." Now, you tell me, you explain that one.
That's awesome.
But his spirit was with me for many, many years. And you know, and now there's not so much, but every once in a while I get a good ass kicking or yelling at, and he's around me, and, you know, I just, he keeps an eye on me, but I think he knows I'm okay.
So right now he's looking and going, "Cougar Chat, really?"
He probably doesn't even know what a cougar is. Like, what the heck is a cougar?
Who are you telling about my bad perm?
Oh, honey, it's right out there for everybody to see. It's right there. God, that was bad.
Picture.
That's
yeah, well,
funny.
Get the book. Look at the picture. You'll see it. I mean, it's you can't really miss it. It's a good one.
And the new book has been released. Like, the re-release of it has come out. You're now going to be touring through Reykjavik, Iceland, and Amsterdam, followed by Germany. Is there any way somebody can get the book in North America? Can you find it on Amazon?
Oh, absolutely. I don't know if we're doing Amazon yet. The other book was on Amazon, but it completely sold out. So I just got this back in the States. We just had it printed and just got it back in like 2-3 weeks ago at the longest. So.
Oh, nice.
You can either get it at my website, which is all small letters, BarbaraMintyMcQueen.com. And it's getting changed around a little bit right now because the book's $49.95 and it said that the shipping was $95, so that's wrong. Give me a day or two to fix that. I'm not real good at the computer yet.
I could just drive
it
to people for that.
I think the shipping and handling is $10 plus whatever the box at the post office costs, the, you know, the little box thing, because I'm going to charge $10 for signing it and writing and running down to the post office and shoving it in the mailbox.
Sure.
And then you can go to DaltonWatsonFindBooks.com, or maybe it's DaltonWatson.com. I think it's DaltonWatson.com.
Okay.
And they probably will start be getting into the bookstores, maybe. I don't know. I don't know how that works. I'm mad at my publisher, so he usually does
know.
Not talking to him.
Well, let us know when it does, and we'll post it on the website, on the Facebook page for you.
And our website. Yeah, we have it on
our website. Is your Facebook? Oh, I have a Facebook page for Steve, too. It's called The Last Mile.
Oh,
it might be The Last Mile,
nice.
Barbara Minty McQueen, but it is The Last Mile, and it's got a bunch of people post all kinds of things, and I post the trip, and it's also got the information where to find the book and things like that.
Oh, nice.
So I try to keep up
for your
book
tour.
I leave Wednesday.
Wow, so as in 2 days from now.
Yeah, like today I did the dentist, so today I'm just kind of sleeping because I had a wonderful morning on my Valium and gas. And so God, does that stuff make you eat? I haven't stopped eating all day. I'm starving to death. But tomorrow is the final packing day, and then Wednesday I drive to Boise, hop a plane, and fly to Seattle, and I'm going to spend a couple days with my girlfriend in Seattle and get purdied up and meet Marshall and fly the friendly, well, they're not friendly skies, but fly over there.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, you'll be surprised that really the longest, most grueling part of the journey is going to be to, say, like, New York. And then you're only maybe, like, what, 4 hours away, 5 hours
away? Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going the opposite way. I'm going the opposite way because both Marshall and I, our bucket list is Iceland. And so what Icelandic Airlines flies from Seattle, Washington to Europe, but you have to stop in Iceland, and they give you up to 5 days free. They don't charge you for staying over, so we're a couple days in Iceland and then flying over to Europe.
Are you kidding me? Because I just flew Iceland Air, like, in March, and I flew to Paris. I didn't know I could stay in Iceland for 5 days, damn it.
That is
Yeah, you can. In fact, we're going to stay at the Blue Lagoon, the whatever it is, the clinic or the whatever their little accommodations there at that big Blue Lagoon. I'm very excited about that.
And thermal spas, that sounds so heavenly.
Yeah, that's what this is, and then we're going to spend a day in town go to Reykjavik and see what that's all about, and off to Amsterdam and hopefully remember what that's all about. So I was there once before.
Oh, I can
it was
tell
really
you what
fun.
That's all about.
I bet
yeah,
you'll
I know.
Do that real quick.
It's all legal. That's all I'll say.
If you need a tour guide or tour, just let us know.
I was there last year.
Find our way around.
So, Barbara, what do you do now? What are your hobbies now? I mean, do you still ski?
I ski a little bit. I mean, I've skied since I was a kid, and it's just, I don't know, I'm getting old and my bones hurt. It's cold up here, but I've been traveling a lot, and I mean, I really dig traveling. I have a little vintage trailer that I'm trying to go traveling in, but nobody will go with me. And summertime, I just garden all the time. I like to garden, not like flowers so much. Flowers are nice, but they're easy. I like my vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty soon I'll have my backyard dug up into a field.
Better be careful. The government might find out.
Yeah. If it's larger than 10 by 10, they'll shut you down.
Well, you know what? I had all this food this year, and they wouldn't let me. I was going to give it to the restaurants or something. It's beautiful, beautiful organic food. I mean, not certified organic, but organic enough. But you can't do it. So I love to grow food. So I'm going to just give it to the we've got it's some food bank down here. I'm going to give it to you next year.
Right.
So, I can't eat.
Can
certified.
Can for when the economy collapses. Do what?
And certified only means that you're paying a tax to the government to have that little stamp on it.
Exactly. You know they want to shut down farms that aren't certified, that usually take their goods every week to the local farmer's market. They want to shut them down because they're not paying a tax. Yep. But they're making a profit, which is wrong. Completely
don't
wrong.
Don't get me started. My dad was a dairy farmer.
Well,
you know
none of us are doing this alone.
we're all of us good folks out there.
I think the government's gonna. I think we often know the government's gonna collapse. It's just a question of when.
But what was it like growing up on a dairy farm? I mean, that would be so fun. You would always have something.
But you know
to
what?
Do.
Until we moved off the farm when I was, I think, 14, because my mother decided that we needed to move into the town, which was a tiny little farm town, but. Because, you know, I had to be a lady. Well, of course, when I moved into town, I discovered boys and cars, so that didn't work very well. But growing up on the farm, man, I never ate anything except what was in the garden. My dad fished. He hunted. We had, you know, it was a dairy farm, so we had the milk right out of the tank. I mean, I ate beautifully till I figured out there was hamburgers, boys, and cars. So, you know, that was the start of it.
Have you heard about, I know Seattle has a... and that whole area has an issue with the raw milk. Have you heard about that?
No, what's up?
There's distributors that are trying to distribute raw milk. It's an unpasteurized, and the government's shutting them down. They threw the main advocate in jail without charging him. And he's like 67 years old.
Oh.
All because people want to drink milk that actually comes from a cow.
You know what? I think... Well, now, wait a minute. How do I get unpasteurized milk here in cartons at our grocery store? I'm sure it says unpasteurized.
I have no idea.
All I know is that raw milk is like the hot topic out there.
Oh, you know what? It's so stupid. Mm-hmm. What do they think their grandparents and everybody grew up on anyway?
Well, that, you know, I can understand wanting, you know, offering people the pasteurized, but the reality is if I don't want to drink it pasteurized, why does somebody have the right to tell me I have to?
And if I want to buy a Big Mac, God dang it, I'm going to buy a Big Mac, Michelle Obama.
And you can leave it on your desk for 3 years, and you can come back and eat it the next day.
Exactly.
Yummy.
And if the government can figure out a way to tax you a second time, they will.
It just, it just pisses me off so much, the whole thing. I can't even go there because it just makes me mad. I won't sleep tonight. My thing that gets me mad is the GMO corn. That corn, that riles me. So.
It's so scary. I know. We should probably do a show on conspiracy theories.
We need to have Barbara back and Emmy back.
I know.
Emmy is all into the organic food and the, you know, don't eat a lot of that processed food.
We were having dinner at my girlfriend's house the other day, and we had some extra people that we didn't really know, and she's an excellent cook, and she always uses as much as possible organic food as long as, you know, what we have in town and what we can get.
Mm-hmm.
And we had this one guy that was sitting there, and he goes, oh, that organic food, that's just bullshit, man, that stuff, you know, they just charge you more for the same old stuff, I don't know, it's just horrible. And we all looked at him, and I said, I won't mention his name, I said, hey, how's dinner tonight? And he says, oh, God, it's one of the best dinners I've ever had. And I said, do you know everything's organic, including the meat, except for your wine? And he goes, oh. Well, you know.
That's
bingo.
Funny. That is funny.
You can say his name.
Oh, well.
We won't tell anyone.
No, I can't. Not for another couple days. He knows who he is.
That's funny. This is great.
So now, where's your main show? Where are you? Where are you talking from? Are you just all on chat, like on telephone chat?
We're on Skype.
We join through Skype and we call into our host.
Oh, how interesting.
Yeah, it's very easy because we don't like a lot of technical.
Oh, no, you know, when I went to Europe last time, I went to Japan too, and I discovered some guy from Skype or somebody said, just put $20 on Skype. And I said, what? And I said, you can use it as a telephone. So I did it, and then I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning in Kyoto on a floor on a mat, which was wonderful, actually. And I was bored, and I thought, well, I'm going to call my sister. So I used the Skype, not the visual one, but just like the telephone one.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to her for about an hour and 45 minutes for, $2.
Nice.
It was really clear.
Yeah,
yeah, it was nice.
And with you can get Skype now on your smartphone, so that's it's much cheaper. But we have about 40 seconds to go, and Barbara, I just wanted to thank you for joining us. You've been a joy, and we have an open invitation for you to come back at any time. Again, it was Barbara McQueen, Steve McQueen's wife, until he died, and this has been so fun.
Awesome.
This has been a hoot.
Yeah.
Thanks, Barbara.
Barbara, thank you so much for coming on. Good luck with your book tour.
Good luck and be safe in your
thank camp. You. Oh, it'll be so much fun. I can't wait.
Good. Well, tell Marshall hello and thank you.
Okay, we will.
All right, take care.
See ya.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
I think we should do a conspiracy show.